Do you realize that just because you know the correct answer with your mind doesn't mean that your heart is in the right place, right? You can say, who needs to be Lord of your life? And you say, Jesus needs to be Lord, but it doesn't mean that he is Lord, right?
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Jobe. Great to be with you once again on Straight Talk. I get emails on a regular basis from people in a lot of different settings that listen to this broadcast on a daily basis, and we're really thankful that you contact us and let us know that you're listening. Helps me know who I'm talking to out there, and helps us be encouraged as a ministry here. I want to say that we are excited to present a new series called Love Stops. There's something about love that actually causes us to stop, notice, and take action. Recently, I watched a video that someone sent me that just saddened my heart, as it showed a man in his 70s crossing the street, caught by a camera, and a car ran into this man, flipped him over on the hood of the car. He fell on the street, and 10 cars drove around him, and none of them stopped. Several people on the sidewalk watched from a distance, but it took a while before anyone approached this man. And I was flabbergasted as this video kept running, showing how no one would help this man that eventually died of his head injuries. And I thought to myself, what a sad world it is when we don't have the decency to stop when someone is in trouble. Really, it's the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus taught that we may be religious, but in the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the religious people were actually the least likely to stop. And it was the Samaritan that stopped and did something that Jesus said, that was the good neighbor. During this entire series, we're going to be looking at how love stops. What would happen if thousands of Christians in Chicago decided that once a week they would actually stop and do a random act of kindness, or stop and help someone out in the name of Jesus? I think this could be a different city. So let's prepare our hearts as we listen to Love Stops.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. We are so glad that you are here and you've chosen to be with us for this edition of Straight Talk. We start a brand new series today called Love Stops. The message is called Discover Your Neighbor. In the first message of this new series today, Pastor Mark Jobe explains God's way to love our neighbors and, of course, ultimately, our communities. Our text will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 1. We'll be in verses 25 through 37. Here is the parable of the Good Samaritan with Pastor Mark and his message called Discover Your Neighbor.
Jesus is speaking in one occasion, and this expert in the law stands up and he says to Jesus, "Teacher," he asks, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I want to show you how Jesus led the conversation from "what must I do to inherit eternal life or get into heaven?" to "who is my neighbor?" Look at the string of conversation. Verse 27. What is written in the law? Jesus asked this man who he knew had studied the law. He replied, "How do you read it?" So Jesus says, "So what's written in the Bible, and what do you understand that it says?" This man who had studied scripture, this man who's an expert in the law, he understood through the Jewish teachings. He quoted what's called the Shema, something that they repeated over and over in their daily prayers. And he answered and said this, verse 27, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." He quoted two scriptures. He quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and he quoted Leviticus 19, verse 18 off the top of his mind because he had memorized these scriptures. And so he understood that the two main commandments in the Old Testament are number one, love God, and number two, love your neighbor. Jesus answered in verse 28 and said, "You have answered correctly." How many of you know we can have the correct answer but have the wrong heart? Do you realize that just because you know the correct answer with your mind doesn't mean that your heart is in the right place, right? You can say, "Who needs to be Lord of your life?" And you say, "Jesus needs to be Lord," but it doesn't mean that he is Lord, right? And so he says, "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied, "do this and you will live." Now Jesus brings it to the application and he's basically asking this man, are you loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind? And are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Jesus is always focused on application, not just the intellect. Jesus is always asking, what are you doing about what you're learning? Not simply have you learned, but what are you doing about what you're learning? So this man becomes a little bit uncomfortable. He becomes a little bit anxious. Have you ever been on the spot? Feel a little convicted, like, okay. So he says, so he tries to justify himself. So instead of answering this question, is he doing this? He tries to escape, dodge the question. Jesus said, do this and you will live, implying, are you doing this? And so he tries to dodge the question and he says, well, who is my neighbor? He probably put his hand on his chin and looked intellectual and says, well, Jesus, who is my neighbor anyways? And then Jesus goes into this long story in which he tells him a parable. The parable is meant to answer the question, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And as we look at the story of Jesus that Jesus tells, I want you to begin to discover what it means to be a neighbor. Because he asks, who is my neighbor? And Jesus turns the question around and tells him what it means to be a neighbor. And he tells him the story that many of us have come to call the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, a parable is a fictional story that illustrates a practical truth. And so he tells him this fictional story of three men that are walking down this road, and he tries to extrapolate a truth that applies to their life. Notice what he says. Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, many of them, as he told this story, they could relate to the area he was talking about. There was 19 miles between Jerusalem and Jericho, and it was known to be a treacherous road. It was a road where a lot of people got mugged. It was a road where a lot of thieves waited in the dark and jumped on unsuspecting travelers. It was also a road that a lot of religious people walked down because Jerusalem was where the temple was, and a lot of religious people lived in Jericho. A lot of Levites and priests and others lived in Jericho. So there was a lot of religious people that would travel this treacherous road to get to Jerusalem, to go to the temple, and go back. And then Jesus says, there was a man who was on this road. Thieves jumped him. They not only robbed him, they stripped him, they beat him, and they left him bleeding on the side of the road. A little while later, a priest, someone whose profession was to serve in the temple, who spent most of his time around the things of God, interceding for the people around holy things, a priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. He avoided the man that he saw on the side of the road. Then a little while later, a Levite, which also was a religious man, Levites had to be born of the tribe of Levi, and served in religious duties, a Levite is traveling by, and when he came to the place and he saw the man, he did the very same thing the priest did. It says he passed by on the other side as well. Both religious men, both men that studied scripture, both men that prayed their prayers, both men that went to the temple, both men that understood the things of God and could quote scripture and had studied theology, and they both walk on the other side of the street. Now the third character is introduced. He's a Samaritan. Now as soon as the audience heard the word Samaritan, they would bristle. A Samaritan was considered by the Jews to be a half-breed. The Samaritans had intermarried. They were Jewish people that had intermarried with pagan Gentile people and had created a half-breed race that the regular Jewish people looked down upon. In fact, they had also developed sort of a quirky theology of worshiping in this mountain, whereas the Jewish people worshiped at another place. And there was animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. A good Jew would never be found dead in the presence or touching or talking with the Samaritan. They avoided them. Do you remember the story of the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well? Jesus stopped to talk with her, and his disciples were aghast that he would be speaking to her. Number one, because she was a woman, and number two, because she was a Samaritan, and she had been divorced, lived with guys 5 different times. And his disciples thought, how could you be talking to a woman like that, Jesus? So this Samaritan that most people look down upon, that most people would consider not to be that religious, most people would consider prejudiced against this man. He walks down that same road that the Levi and the priest had walked down. And when he sees this man on the side of the road, stripped and bleeding, he has a different reaction. It says that when he saw him, he took pity on him. And verse 34 says, and he went to him and he bandaged his wounds and he poured oil and wine, which were antiseptics, on his wound. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn. He took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, then he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Then Jesus looked at this lawyer and said, which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Now here's 4 things I want you to jot down as we talk about what it means to stop because of love. 4 things. I want you to understand what it means to be a neighbor. What does being a neighbor really mean? Because Jesus has told us, part of the command in scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself. And if I'm going to love someone, I guess I need to know who that someone is. I need to know who my neighbor is. Well, first of all, I want you to understand that being a neighbor means getting past my prejudice and my excuses.
We'll get back to Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Discover Your Neighbor, which is from our current series called Love Stops. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Luke chapter 1 with Pastor Mark's message called Discover Your Neighbor.
You see, what I've discovered is this. I've discovered that sometimes religious people make lousy neighbors. You know, just because you're more religious doesn't make you a better neighbor. In fact, sometimes it's our religion that actually makes us worse. This Levite and this priest, because of their religious teachings, did not want to get their hands dirty with that sort of scum. I don't know why the priest walked by. He may have thought, well, he probably deserves it. It must have been God's will for him to be mugged. Maybe it was God's judgment. What was he doing anyways late at night walking in that down this road? He was probably a drug dealer. You see, some of the religious teachings of the day, for example, some of the rabbis taught that a proper Jew was forbidden to help a Gentile woman who was in distress giving birth because if they helped her give birth to a Gentile baby, it would just cause another Gentile to be in the world. Their religious teachings had oftentimes made them bigoted, prejudiced, and unwilling to relate to other people because of self-righteousness. Do you realize that one of the main problems that the religious folks had with Jesus? They called him a friend of sinners and prostitutes. Because they looked at who Jesus hung out with. And they thought to themselves, listen, if you were really a holy man, you'd hang out with a better crowd. I mean, seriously. When Jesus went to the house of the Pharisee and a woman came to him and cried at his feet and her tears dropped on his feet and with her hair she washed his feet and wept over him. One of the Pharisees that was there thought in his mind, listen, if he were really a holy man, he wouldn't let that woman touch him because she's a hooker. How could he, if he was a holy man, let a woman of that kind even touch him? And Jesus, knowing in his mind what the man was thinking, he said to him, listen, he who is forgiven much loves much. He who is forgiven little loves very little. You see, Jesus had it clear. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. Jesus was never afraid to get his hands dirty by people around him that were in need. He was in the world, but not of the world. He didn't run from people that had messes. He walked right into the messes of people, and it was his presence in the middle of the mess that made things better. Yeah. Hey, listen. We are the church. A community of faith, not of perfect people, but of people that have issues and problems and are sorting through their own stuff. But listen, the thing that I've always loved about this church is that we've always had messes. Because I think a healthy church should have messes. Let me explain that. You see, if you go to a church and it's the same 30, 40 people that have always attended that church. And they've grown up in the church, and it's their kids and their kids' kids that live in that, that are in the church. And they all know the verses, and they all know how to dress. And when you say John 3:16, they can get their Bibles and go immediately to it. And they know all the words of the songs, and they know all the theology, and they've been there. They've all intermarried. There are 40 of them. It's the kids of the kids. But when someone from the outside walks in that doesn't know much about God and is not dressed properly and maybe was out the night before and they're just looking for God, they sort of let them sit on a bench by themselves and isolate themselves because we don't want that kind of scum in this place. And I believe in a church that has messes because if we're doing what we should be doing, then there should always be people in this church that when I say, turn to John 3:16, they say, John what? Well, I've seen it at football games, but I'm not really sure. Is that in the Bible? Hey, if you're like that, I want you here. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you came to this church and didn't even own a Bible, I'm glad you're here. If you came with a lot of messes and stuff in your life and you say, well, I don't think I belong here because these people look like they have their act together. They know the words. They know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know the songs. I'm not even sure I know how to be in church. Really, is someone who will look at me and say, hey, you're in church? I'm glad you're here. Because listen, that's exactly the way that Jesus works. If we are to be the church of the living God, that means that our holy love draws us not to isolate from the world, but to reach out and touch and embrace and help and do everything that's possible to deal with the holy messes that we run in. The Levite sees the mess and walks around it. The priest sees the mess and walks around it. The neighbor sees the mess and walks into it. That's the call of God upon our lives. Jesus saw the mess and walked into it. He wouldn't isolate himself. He reached out to people that are in need. He didn't judge someone that was struggling. He helped someone that was struggling. That's the call of the body of Christ. That's the call of us. That's who we've been called to do. That's what we've been called to do. That's who our neighbor is. And Jesus tells this story, and I want you to understand that there's always an excuse for not stopping. There's always an excuse for not getting involved. But being a good neighbor means we get past our prejudice and excuses. But this man, these religious people had prejudice in their heart and mind. They didn't understand that they needed to see people the way that Jesus saw people. Let me tell you this. You know what Jesus said? It tells us in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." By this. What is it, Pastor? A big King James Bible under my arm? With concordance and commentary on it? Maybe that's it. No. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have memorized a lot of verses of Scripture and can quote it off your mind?" No. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Why? Because you wear a big cross with a chain on it and say, "Yeah, Christian here." No. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another." The mark, the distinguishing mark of a believer in Jesus Christ is the fact that they care about other people. Now listen to me well. Look up at me. Here, this is huge. If your theology and your Christianity makes you love God but can't stand people, there's something inherently wrong with your theology. You cannot love God and hate people. Have you ever run into religious people that way? It seems like they love God, but they can't stand people. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, they really know the verse. They really got all that down, but it seems like they can't stand people around their ornery, grouchy, "Get away from me, you sinner." And then they just, like, they love God, but just don't want to have anything to do with people. 1 John says, "How can you say that you love God and not love your brother? The two are incompatible." If you love God, listen, if you authentically love God, your love for God will drive you to love people. It always will. And a church that doesn't love, a church that doesn't care, a church that doesn't stop, even though they have all their theology right and their T's crossed and their I's dotted in their doctrinal statement, if they do not demonstrate the compassion, the caring, the kindness, the love of God, there is something truly, truly wrong with their Christianity, because true Christianity cares about people and their needs and what's going on. It's the mark of true followers of Jesus Christ. The second thing I want you to understand about being a neighbor is that being a neighbor means that I make room for interruptions. I make room for interruptions. Notice that this man, everybody was busy. Hey, we live in a super busy world, don't we? The only people that are not busy in Chicago are tourists. You walk downtown, everybody's walking down, and there's some guy with a big camera, and they're looking up at the Sears Tower. Just, you know, kind of, you know, everybody else has a place to go. They have a meeting somewhere to go. Everybody's in a hurry except the people looking. You can spot them a mile away, can't you? Downtown, they're just kind of hanging back and got their Hawaiian shirts on in Chicago. Not sure why. But they're, you know, on the big cameras and they're taking pictures of everything. And you know, hey, they're on vacation because we all have places to go, things to do. We have deadlines and meetings. We're in a hurry. Hey, we got busy lives. The thing about love is you can't not love without being interrupted. You listen, Mom, you have a child. Oh, moms know this better than anybody else. You have a child and you love that child. Your life will be a series of constant interruptions if you have a small child. Some of you are, "I can barely brush my teeth. I mean, I can barely take a shower without this little kid wanting to," you know, that's love. You have a child, life is full of interruptions. But listen, even as we love other people outside of our immediate family and even our small children, love will demand interruptions. And I love this about Jesus. And I told you before that Jesus stopped when the blind man called, and he stopped and he said, "Bring them to me." Jesus embraced his interruptions.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe and his message called Discover Your Neighbor, which is from our brand new series called Love Stops. Join us on the next Straight Talk as we continue on in this new teaching series. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.